Knowing how to speak and understand a new language can be an invaluable tool when traveling, meeting new friends, or just even to master a new skill. But it's not always simple when you're bogged down by textbooks and structure classes. That's why so many people trust Rosetta Stone. Rosetta Stone is the most trusted language learning program, available on desktop or as an app. It truly immerses you in the language you want to learn, like Spanish, French, Italian, Chinese, and more. You won't just be studying English translations. The Rosetta Stone intuitive process helps you pick up a language naturally, first with words, then phrases, then sentences. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/rs10. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/rs10 today.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, welcome to episode 98 of A Wild Podcast Has Appeared, the official Pokemon podcast of comicbook.com. I am one of your hosts, Jim Biscardi, and as always, I am joined by Megan Peters and Christian Hoffer. Welcome back, everybody.
Hello, hello.
Hello, we are here.
We have got a good show for you today. We have a bunch of Pokemon Go stuff to talk about, DJ Pikachu to talk about, some anime news to cover, and we're going to break open some battle styles stuff. We'll talk through some of the hot cards. We'll break open a few packs, see what we can get. I had some hot luck last week, so going to try and do it again. And we'll see where it goes. And then obviously at the very, very end, Pokemon fact of the week. All right.
Yeah. Well, let's just jump right into things.
Anyone catch a shiny Voltorb this week?
No.
Or last week?
No.
No.
No?
No.
No.
I caught 4 shiny Voltorbs.
But is there a boosted rate, or were you just stupid?
It was a community day.
No, it wasn't a community. It was not a community day.
No, not community day. It was the spotlight hour.
Oh, okay. Yeah, those spotlight hours have mixed.
I always get those things, those names confused.
Yeah, no, the community days definitely have boosted the spotlight hours. Not always. Like, sometimes do. But, you know, it seems like sometimes they just don't. I was busy last Tuesday.
Well, it's always, it's tough because sometimes it happens, it happens when we do dinner. And so it's like, well, I can't,
haven't mastered the art of playing Pokemon Go under the kitchen table without looking, you haven't been playing Pokemon Go enough. I mean, it's like, I just have like a precognizance. I'm just like, I know there's Pokemon. Let's go.
Yeah. So in the chat, we had someone who said that, you know, the spotlight hours do not have boosted shiny rates. So it looks like you were just
I have had very good luck during the spotlight hours. I know that they don't, or the one I didn't was the one before this. That was different because that was a special day that they didn't boost the raid hours that we were talking about. I generally seem to have pretty good luck. I also will save incense for spotlight hours, mainly because I'll get a bunch in my backyard because where I don't have to go anywhere. Mm-hmm. But I feel anytime I pop an incense with that, I usually have better luck there.
I did manage to get 2 Therian form Thunderouses over the past week since it popped, and they went and made Therian form Thunderous not sucky. So I'm pretty pumped about
Always appreciate that.
Yeah. Well. Okay. Well, why don't you break down why Therian form Thunderous is not?
So it has the highest damage per second rate of any electric type Pokemon now. They I forget what move they changed it to, you know, what they shifted the move pool to, but because of that, it now has the highest DPS. It doesn't have the highest total damage output, which basically means, like, you know, because it's not very tanky, because it's got a super high attack but not the best defense or HP. So there are still better electric type Pokemon out there, but Therian form Thunderous now has the highest, DPS, excuse me. Mm-hmm. So you know, that's useful to have, especially the more people you have in a raid, the less the total damage output matters. You know, you can kind of just glass cannons are a little bit more useful when there's 20 of them.
That's right. At the very least, it's a good one to have on your team, basically, to just, you know, surrounded with other ones, right? Like with other more tanky.
It's definitely an upgrade over like a Pokemon like Jolteon, or you know, kind of like your standard. I don't have anything better. Ampharos is one that you know will pop up a lot for me when I do raids where an electric type Pokemon is recommended, and it's like my Ampharos is. There's not a good Ampharos unless you have Mega evolved it and are using like I think they have Dragon Pulse. Mm-hmm. So you know, I'm pretty stoked about that. I was able to get two of them, and I already sent one to Pokemon Home. So
nice. There you go.
Yeah. So Pokemon Go. You know, it's been busy. We've got Weather Week starting up.
Like so what can we expect from Weather Week?
So the big thing that's going on with Weather Week is that it will introduce a Pokemon that has never had a shiny. This shiny form has never appeared in any Pokemon game. So Rainy Form, Cast Form, which is a pain in the butt to say because form is in its name, but Rainy Form, Cast Form, shiny will be introduced to Pokemon Go. So the thing with this is that in previous editions, previous generations of the game, shiny cast form has always been in the game. But when shiny cast form transforms based on the weather, it does not, its shiny form would not shift into a shiny variant. So a rainy cast form would look like a rainy cast form, even if you had a shiny cast form. This changed with this current generation. They added shiny versions of the various weather affected cast forms. However, cast form is not in Pokemon Sword and Shield. It's not a Pokemon that is available. So no one has been able to see what a shiny form cast form looks like outside of the data mine of Pokemon Home until this upcoming event. So that's going to be the big one. I'm trying to think what other nice things are coming.
Do you have all the forms of Castiform in Go?
Yeah.
I have only been able to find the sunny form. And that really that bothers me.
Do you play in the rain?
Yes, I do play in the rain. It's just for whatever reason I can't get a Castiform to show up unless it's sunny out, apparently. But okay, so I just pulled up a picture of shiny form Castiform, and it's actually not a bad looking shiny. I think, or he's got, you know, a blue head inside the raindrop with like green goggles on and a bit of a dark gray bottom. It's a pretty cool.
Yeah, no, it's definitely an improvement over its previous shiny form, which was literally identical to. As a note in the chat, someone pointed out that, you know, Zekrom is still the king of non-mega, non-shadow electric types. That is true. It does have a higher total damage output because it is a bulkier Pokemon, and the difference, you know, in DPS is pretty negligible. So if you have a Zekrom, use your Zekrom.
If you have a Zekrom and Therian form Thundurus, take both.
Yeah, that is also
valid. You don't have a whole party of Zekrom, basically.
The other stuff that's going on with this Weather Week, you know, it's all about either windy or rainy Pokemon. Wingull and Ducklett are some of the Pokemon that are appearing. I haven't actually, you know, gotten. I have a Ducklett. I do not have the evolved form of Ducklett in Pokemon Go. You know, that's the big one. Other than that, it's just kind of it's not a very exciting event. Like there's a website that was like, there's too many events in Pokemon Go. You know, we can't keep up. I'm like, if there's events like Weather Week, is that really like an event.
Do we count this as an event?
It's like, yeah, oh,
it's more like it's just like a theme week theme, as opposed to like an event. Like that's
I was like, oh man, I can
calm down there, buddy.
I there is a part of me that wishes these events were longer. And I've noticed that stuff like the charge up event, like I got a couple of Tynamo. None appeared in the wild because it was rare. Luckily, I completed the limited time research and got my Tynamo. Mm-hmm. But you know, like, do I wish, like, you know, if I hadn't had all the Pokemon already, or if I was like really wanting an Electros, like, or Electros, you know, it's because it's got the two E's there. It's literally in the name. Like, do I wish that event would have gone longer? Yeah, sure. I wish that would have been a 10-day event. But, you know, I'm not gonna, it's literally these placeholder events. Like, I'm cool with it being a week. Like,
I'll tell you where I got stuck. Three nice throws in a row got stuck. I said, F it. I'm not completing this one.
Nice throws?
Yeah. Here's the problem.
No.
Because all the Pokemon that were spawning in my area were like, had the tiniest catch circles. And I'm like, what? Like, give me a Diglett or some more Geodudes or something bigger that I can just get them, like, you know, in a row.
That is like the saddest.
I know it's sad.
Like, I know, getting, like, I can understand I kept getting when it's two like in a great row. Throw. Oh.
Great throws I can do all day.
They count, Jim.
No, but not if they're in a row.
Yeah, no, exactly. I mean,
caller 27. I need more Electabuzz. Here, I'm gonna try it right now. Right, I got a Miltank. I should be able to do three in a row. Not even trying. Just hoping.
This is gonna be some of the saddest content we've ever put on this.
Okay,
podcast.
There's one. Okay, keep all talking. Right. I'm gonna let you know if I get it.
Okay. Well, let us continue to make fun of Jim as he's.
Right, I think up. My record for nice throws.
Of course, it fled naturally. So now I need something bigger.
I think my record for nice throws was 18 in a row.
18 nice throws.
Yes. I think that's like where I capped, and then I've never tried to test myself again. I will say though, I was in a park and there were plenty of Pokemon, so I was able to kind of selectively go for the guys with bigger hitboxes. Okay.
I've got two in a row right now. Got my Miltank and my Electrike, which is a good one to do it on. See, but now my only options are Hoppip, Wurmple.
Wurmple shouldn't be that hard. You have to shift because the box is down a little lower, but
I'm gonna do it on Combi.
Whoa, Jim. Sorry. This is a podcast listened to by children.
All right.
Children. speaking of, you know, difficult tasks, you know, this will basically be impossible for Jim to do. Now that we are 30 days out from Pokemon Go tour, you know, we have finally found out what the requirements are to get the shiny Mew. You know, there's a lot of them. You know, Jim will never have it finished up. But one of them is catch 1,510 Pokemon. And you get one incense as a reward for this. It is like people were just like, wow, man, what an incentive. I mean, the real incentive is you get the shiny Mew, but people were like, really, one incense for catching 1,510 Pokemon. That's it.
Why that number though? Is there a reason why they specifically went with that?
All of these things have been like, just variations on like 151, right? So they've just been
because it's Mew. Yeah, there you go. It took a second. It's Monday, you know. Ever since we moved to Mondays, you know, sometimes we're a little slow on the mark.
Calder, you're 100% right. I can use my Pogo Plus, that'll get me my three nice catches in a row.
No, it won't. Yes, no. No, it won't. That you don't qualify. It just.
Oh, really?
There are
four Hoppip in my backyard, and that is all I've got.
Jim, suck it up and just catch them. Use your finger skills that you have accumulated in the 5 years that this game has been out.
Pogo Plus for the 15.
Yeah.
For the 151 Yeah.
Okay. Oh my god.
That makes more sense. All right. Look, I am just trying to be like,
we'll check in with you at the end of this video.
Let's
I'm waiting. I'm waiting for something else to show up because there are four Hoppip and that's it. That's all.
You know what did show up last? Well, it wasn't last week. It was 2 weeks ago, but we didn't talk about it on the last podcast. You know what did show up? DJ Pikachu is in the house.
Anytime I hear that in my head, I just hear like the DJ Khaled voice, but just DJ Pikachu. And it's honestly
another one. The video is freaking hysterical if you haven't seen this. It is a 2 minute and 20 second video of DJ Pikachu. He is wearing glasses with like a little like light up thing, like as like the the rim. And so it's like an LED that, you know, keeps things. But he's doing a remix of the various original theme songs from the original Pokemon Red and Blue. It is goofy. I highly recommend it. I mean, I watched it about a dozen times when I discovered it on like Monday night. And my wife and my like 5-year-old were both watching it. And everyone, we were just cracking up because it was just good, stupid fun. It makes me miss the Pikachu Outbreak Festival.
Oh man, who doesn't miss that during this time?
Oh, those produce some of the best Pokemon videos ever.
Yeah,
oh,
when that comes back. You know, which could be this. I could see it coming back. It's because it's always towards the end of August.
Yeah.
You know, so I could see maybe. I'm willing to bet that it won't be until 2022. But it's like right on the cusp.
Yeah.
Oh,
or
man.
If it is this year, it will only be for like Japanese residents. No traveling allowed.
Yeah.
Similar I think to what they're thinking the Olympics will be.
Yeah, they're still having restrictions like that. But those Pikachu outbreaks. Yeah. Oh man.
Rankin knows what's up. Those deflated Pikachus, those are the best moments because they get taken out by basically by the Pokemon Secret Service.
Yeah.
They're like, "Oh no, you can't be out here. You're ruining our image of Pikachu."
My son and I, we watched the Pikachu Outbreak episode of Pokemon Journeys the weekend, and that was an experience where it was just like, you know, all like they had the I Am Spartacus moment with all the Pikachu like covering for Ash's Pikachu. I was like, oh man, this is a quality Easter egg that no child will ever know about because nobody has watched Spartacus. Nope. I was like, oh, that's great. Just great stuff. You know, some other stuff happened in the anime too. Apparently I'm taking over host duty.
This is great. I'm loving this.
Apparently.
I'm still trying to catch Pokemon.
Yeah, Jim.
I just need one more nice throw. I'm just gonna sit back and enjoy the ride. Go ahead.
I'm at two. I just gotta tick a read it.
What is going on? We're doing a podcast, guys. Why are you this playing Pokemon?
I gotta try to show up Jim. This is the one.
Yeah, I need to see if Megan can beat me.
Oh my god!
Thing I have in my life.
Another one showed up. So
it's now the
anime.
Yeah, Megan. Yeah, I was about to say, please tell us about some of the stuff that's been going on in the anime.
Well, Jim just lost. So, anyways, in the anime, we have a confirmed an evolution in the anime in Japan, obviously, because Netflix in the States has kind of the delay, as we all know. Ash did catch a Farfetch'd, and the Farfetch'd has now evolved into Sirfetch'd. So, he has a nice little shiny armored bird of some sort, you know, casual.
I briefly read about this, and is it true that like Sirfetch'd is like a dual wielding Sirfetch'd, like his leg split in half, and so he just like started dual wielding instead?
Yeah, in the anime, of course, that can happen for.
That's
for
amazing.
Ash.
I mean,
which I would love if they put that in the game. Like, you know, you could have like a variant battle styles type. Does it have like nunchucks? Does it have a sword or whatever? So Ash's Sirfetch'd is a lethal threat to anyone involved. We knew this was going to come. There was no way that Ash was going to get a Galarian Farfetch'd and it not evolve into Sirfetch'd. So there was a nice little kind of story about everything with that. And now the big story is we got several new synopses in Japan for upcoming episodes of Pokemon Journeys. And I believe it's episode 62's synopsis. Basically, it's saying that Sobble's about to evolve. Now, it makes it sound like Sobble is trying to evolve straight into an Inteleon because he meets an Inteleon and he's like smitten with this like evolution. But it doesn't seem like that's actually going to happen. Obviously, he's going to have to, evolve into a secondary form Drizzile first. So unless he does like a weird, double feature 2-for-1 evolution, which I wouldn't put it past Go at this point. So it definitely looks like Sobble is about to evolve. We're just not quite sure, why or how or anything. Apparently Sobble's been training really hard, just not with Go.
Yeah, so. In the background, off screen for the past like 3 months. I like I said, we're not entirely caught up on the anime yet, but we have like watched a few of the episodes with Sobble in it, and like I'll be 100% honest, I totally forgot the Go caught Sobble. are like entire episodes because all Sobble does is sit on his shoulder and then vanish when like something mildly exciting happens, and it's like, oh man, you are getting these poor Galar starters just are getting the short shrift. Not entirely true. Like Scorbunny's pretty well fleshed out, but just like they are really struggling. Somebody on Facebook asked, "Do we ever talk about Zelda games?" Oh boy, would we like to!
Boy, would I talk about it. Hit me up. Yeah, on Twitter.
Megan, and right. I are Zelda enthusiasts to an extreme. So Farfetch, Sobble, lots of cool stuff going on in the anime.
Well, I don't know if I'd say it was cool necessarily, but I will be interested to kind of see what will happen, because obviously Sobble will evolve into Drizzile first, and I'm curious to see kind of like what's going to happen with that kind of motion and movement in the anime, if that will by any chance or stretch of the imagination maybe give the Pokemon a little bit more limelight in the anime. I doubt it so much. So, but I can hope. So we'll see.
My big question is, so Ash's team is basically set now. His Sirfetch has evolved. He's got a Lucario now. Like he's got his six. So I'm really curious, like what happens now, because I'm guessing that we still have like another year or so of Pokemon journeys. Mm-hmm. Ash's team is basically, it's set, unless we're going to go into the one good thing about the Best Wishes era, in which he has more than six Pokemon, which, Go has like 1,000. So why the heck not?
right. Ash could have more Pokemon. That is totally fine. But it'll be interesting. I mean, look, I think it'll be, I think where it gets interesting, right, is when this stretch of shows, as we know of journeys, like where that really ends and like what that basically tees up like next. Like, are they, is it going to be battle, battle focused, but more, is there going to be a league component to it maybe or not? I don't know.
I mean, I'm guessing because he's still like Ash is still, if I recall correctly, and like I said, I haven't been following up the Japanese stuff as much as I, could be, but he's still in the Great League, like rankings. Yeah. So he's still got a way to go.
He still wants to fight Leon.
My question is like, are we going to kind of see a shift over to like a more Sinnoh focused, over the next few months? Because, coming up in November, we're going back to the Sinnoh region in the games.
Yeah.
I
would be shocked if we didn't. I mean, primarily the purpose of an anime is to coexist with a property as a form of marketing. I mean, that's kind of always how it's been. And obviously Pokemon has a life of its own, so it kind of does its own thing at this point. But if there are going to be those game tie-ins for Sinnoh coming up, fairly soon, the anime is going to have to go there. I mean, it's just going to have to.
I mean,
there's no question.
Even with, Twilight Wings was the Galar focused, because, I think that was like the compromise because they wanted Journeys to be the entire Pokemon world. We still got, Twilight Wings as like, a focused anime. So I could see that we get like a, like, like Sinnoh wings. I don't know what I'm not even going to bother to try, but we will probably get a Sinnoh focused something or another.
All I know is they will more than likely, much down the line, we will likely get like Pokemon Legends Arceus as an anime Twilight Wings generations kind of type ordeal, which I'm super excited for, but that's looking way down the barrel.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. For sure. All right. Well, let's take a quick break unless you got something else.
No.
And then we'll open some of these bad boys, battle styles, and then we'll get into what we can expect from the latest Pokemon trading card game expansion set when we come back.
Is your child struggling with a specific subject or need help with homework? Are they asking questions that you're not sure you can fully answer? IXL Learning is an online learning program for kids. It covers math, language arts, science, and social studies. IXL is designed. This program will improve your kids' grades. Studies done in almost every state in the country, the kids who had IXL are consistently doing better. Powered by advanced algorithms, IXL gives the right help to each kid no matter the age or personality. And it doesn't have to eat up all your time. One subscription gets you everything for all the kids in your home, pre-K to 12th grade. So don't miss out. 1 in 4 students in the U.S. are learning with IXL. IXL is used in 95 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXL.com/audio. Visit IXL.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
All right. Battle styles time. This is an interesting set because it introduces a bit of a new meta to the game, right, Christian? Oh, I think Christian's frozen. He's just staring at us.
Oh, that is horrifying.
That is horrifying. I thought he was ready, and he is just staring at us.
Oh, it's slow. No, his eyebrows moved.
I'm back. There I'm back. Goes. I'm sorry. I've been my internet like literally right before the ad break, like suddenly cut in and cut out. So I will try to provide as much commentary, but if I disappear, just pretend that I'm making fun of Jim.
Perfect. I was introing it with there's a bit of a new meta to the game, and so I was hoping you can share some insight as far as what you think. We'll see as I just fumble one of these packs open.
So Battle Styles introduces the very directly named Battle Styles mechanics. Now, this doesn't add anything on their own. Like if you have a single strike battle style, a card with single strike or rapid strike, there's two different battle styles. It's not going to change what your card does on its own. The thing is that a lot of the abilities of these cards or a lot of the attacks of these cards are boosted or they have synergies with other rapid strike cards. So, for instance, one of the really useful cards is Houndoom V. The Houndoom V allows you to pull out single strike energy from your deck every turn, in addition to your normal energy distribution. So you can put one energy on a Pokemon, and then you can put one single strike energy on a Pokemon as long as you have Houndoom. So you can really quickly ramp up your Pokemon in like as little as 2 turns if you can get a Houndoom like right on the deck. So it's really all about card synergy. It's really kind of directing players to pick a style and build a deck around one style. And, it gives you some, like, really big boosts. Now, will these decks totally take over, like, the metagame? Probably not. Some of the more dominant decks in the metagame, like, hypothetically, can be taken down by some of these battle styles.
Makes sense. All right, first pack. Here we go.
All right, fire.
All right,
fire energy.
Crawdaunt.
Where you're starting to see there's a rapid strike. I imagine there is going to be a single strike.
Karina's Focus. That's a solid card. The full art secret rare version of that is going for big bucks online.
All right,
about $50.
Is that our second Corphish already?
No, you got Crawdaunt.
Crawdaunt. Okay. Cubone.
Murkrow. Tapig.
All right. So there's single strike right up there in the corner there. Reverse holo. Main shell.
Yeah.
And a Marowak.
Marowak.
Bom, bom, right. Bom.
Right, hold on. I opened up two just so we can. Well, let's get through two. We'll talk about it and then we'll. And then I'll open two more. Okay. Mm-hmm. Psychic energy.
Another Chronite.
Another Chronite. Look at that.
A Dewblade. Cacturne. Holy cooly. Ooh, you're not even getting anything with battle styles at this point.
Yeah.
Chuchio.
Oh, that's a cute Onyx. He's like sleeping like a cat.
Oh, I love these toy ones.
The
like
ones made with clay. Ones.
Yeah, those are really cool. I literally have gotten zero reverse holo Brazong.
Is that
this is the full art Krikatoon.
Okay. Yep. Let us pull that up on
TCG
on TCG and see what it says. Says one of the full arts. So Krikatoon V.
So I got nothing. Zero battle styles in that pack.
That is an $11.92 card that Jim just pulled.
Look at that. So is that two packs in? We got a nice one. So let's just do one more.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, no, that Krikatoon was pretty cool. Because you can once during your turn you can draw cards until you have three cards in your hand, and then if Krikatoon is the active, you can make it four cards in your hand instead. So it basically allows you to cycle through your deck quickly, getting the stuff out that you need.
Nice. All right, here we go. Okay. Bruxish. Buffalant.
Buffalant.
Level Ball. Murkrow. Horsey. That's cute, Horsey.
Mm-hmm.
Cherubi. I haven't gotten the battle styles.
So not obviously for those who are watching, not
ooh, this is a great Electabuzz.
Yeah. Not every single card has a battle style.
Yes.
Only about, I think, half of them or so.
Timber and a holo Aegislash.
Pretty
cool.
Man.
Oh, nice. And you can switch it with the other.
Yep.
That's pretty neat. I like
that's
that.
That's actually a neat card. I know, let's see, Almac in the chat asked, are we going to build a deck at some point? You know what? We've been doing this enough. I think it's time. I think we'll do that. We'll go through some more of these and we'll see what all we we can put together. But I think so Christian, what are some of the other cards that people are looking for?
So as always, it really depends. So the two big things, Urshifu, the decks that use battle styles are going to have one of the two Urshifus, either Rapid Strike or Single Strike. Both are, there's Urshifu V and Urshifu VMAX, and those VMAX cards are both really devastating. There's a couple of other cards that can provide some really good synergies with those. It seems like the most expensive ones, if you give me a second. The Rapid Strike Urshifus are the one that are going for the most money online. There is an alternate full art secret rare that just looks absolutely fantastic. It's one of the best card art that I've ever seen. There's a Tyranitar V with alternate full art as well. That's really
is that
great.
Is that the napping one?
Yeah, it's the napping one. And that Tyranitar V, I'll tell you, like that is a good card to have. Like because with the it's like default attack, which costs three energy. It's a Cragalanche, but it forces the opponent to discard two cards every time they get hit with one of these attacks. Which, considering that is one of the ways, you can technically win a game if your opponent runs out of cards. And more importantly, they could be discarding cards that are very good. So unless they have some way to, pull those cards out of their discard pile, that is a way to really mess up some decks. So that Tyranitar V, the alternate ones are going for a lot. Some of the trainer cards that are going for a lot we talked about Karina's Focus. There's a Phoebe secret rare that's going for a lot. The big thing with the Phoebe secret rare, the Phoebe card is that it guarantees that your Pokemon's VMAX attacks aren't affected by effects, by any effects on your opponent's active Pokemon. So if you really want to make sure that your VMAX attack does a lot of damage, this is what you want to use. So there's a lot of cool cards. I really like a lot of things in this card. It's a good expansion. I'm really excited to see, because they're going to continue to build on this battle styles mechanic for at least another two or three sets. They also have we talked about there's the V Union cards has been teased. So that has been confirmed for July. But whatever the July set is in Japan, we'll be seeing what V Union is. So,
all right, let's go through some more. I have not peeked at any of them. So here we go. We're waiting for Richard to swap us over. Here we go. All right, water energy. Grumpig.
That's some strange art.
Energy recycler.
Always solid card to have.
Girder.
Oh.
Chimchia. Got another horsey.
There you go.
A Mankey. There we go. Single strike Mankey.
Hey, there you go.
Mile.
Single strike Mile. All right.
Oh, four Mantis.
Cute.
Oh,
ooh, Colossal. That Colossal is really cool. Reverse holo Colossal. And a Scent to Scorch. Non holo. All right.
Well,
can't win them all.
You got a couple, though.
There we go. Got a couple.
Then the last set.
I've got two more.
Okay. Let's do this.
Rapid Strike, Scroll of Swirls, another Bouffalant, Crawdaunt, Onix. Now I'm starting to get all the Reaper. Ooh, look at that Yamper. Look at that good boy.
What a best boy. Look at him.
Cacnea, Sandalit, another Mankey.
There you go.
Mm-hmm. Reverse Holo, Jellicent, and an Aegislash.
Which you can use. You'll note that switches forms. Yep, those are different forms. One is hollow and one is non-hollow. Right. Yeah, I did see in the comments, I feel that like Battle Styles will be this gen's team-up set slash gimmick. I agree. I think that this is really setting up, like, this is the base for what the metagame is going to kind of move towards. I think that a lot of cards will complement these styles. At least the next year or so. Another Yamper.
Glammeow.
Glammeow.
Reverse holo energy recycler. And an Electivire. That's pretty cool.
Electivire. Looks pretty nice.
All right. Last one. This one should have something good in it. It had a white code card. So here we go. Spoiler. Spupa. When was the last time we saw a Spupa as a card? Never. I don't think. This may be first time in the line. Gliscor. That's a pretty cool Gliscor. Everyone's favorite. Everyone's favorite.
Swordward is
not allowed to go and use that guy's nickname.
Swordward and Shielbert. Esper. Timber. A Galarian Slowpoke.
Galarian Slowpoke.
Another Corphish. Another Salandit. Single strike mustard.
Oh, okay.
Take it.
Reverse holo and a holo Embor.
Single strike Embor.
Yeah, that's a pretty cool. Hey,
so you got about maybe close to 10 single strike cards.
Yeah. So out of what we did, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, at 8 packs, 2 hollows and a full art. So. Not terrible.
Yeah, no.
Not terrible. We'll save some. We'll do some over the next couple of episodes. We'll do some more, see what we get. The journey continues. Like we said, I think this is going to definitely be an interesting set for players. And it's one of those things where, like, and this could just be a thing. I don't know where to look. I need to change my camera setup. Hold on, give me 1 second, because I just can't look at myself like that. It's just like I just remember, like, you know, when these new sets come out, being able to kind of see in real time, because there's a lot of stuff happening just in a lot, just live events, right? Where you see how people were putting their decks together and seeing, you know, what cards were being used, how they were being used. And so that, so, you know, we don't necessarily get that, you know, with these last couple of sets. And like, I'm sure the discussion is happening somewhere. It's just not as, I feel, not as prevalent as,
The recent trend of, you know, while Pokemon cards are hotter than they've been in years, the definite trend seems to be more on, you know, the collecting of them rather than the deck composition. Anyways,
I'm breaking one more open, but
okay.
these are just it's
like, look, he is like addicted.
He really is.
I love it. Well, that's because we had such good luck last week that I'm hoping I can bring on. That's it. This is literally the last one.
Meanwhile, I couldn't find any Battle Styles cards anywhere.
Green code card. Oh, now I'm holding it up to here.
Okay. Steel. As the Tower of Darkness.
Garter.
Durant.
Esper.
Esper.
Blipbug.
Blipbug.
Silicobra.
Mm-hmm.
Houndour. Lickitung. Look at that happy Lickitung.
Nightmare.
Reverse holo Pawniard. And
Victory Bell. Wah, wah, wah.
Oh, man.
Icarus, man.
There it is. Yep. I should be happy with what I got. All right, Christian, why don't we give us the Pokemon fact of the week?
So Kabuto is, you know, we're to Kabuto, our favorite fossil Pokemon, which I don't even know why it is a fossil Pokemon, because apparently Kabuto never went extinct. They can still be found on the ocean floor.
And maybe that's why. Maybe that's why. Like, no one can go to the ocean floor. Yeah, Rankin 2700 balance has been restored. That's true. But anyway, but like, maybe that's it with Kabuto. No one wants to go to the ocean floor, and so they just assume they were all dead because that's where they all are.
Yeah. The so they do talk about how it's a living fossil. That's a little bit vague. You know, for a while there, it was a little bit vague, like, oh, is it just a fossil that moves or something like that? But, you know, Pokemon Shield definitely put down, you know, kind of cut, put their foot down. While some say the species has gone extinct, Kabuto sightings are fairly common in some places. So there we have it. You know, your dome fossils are absolutely useless. Just go to where they are apparently common. meanwhile, Kabutops is very disturbing, guys. You know, so not only is this Pokemon the missing link between you know, water dwelling Pokemon and land dwellers, the Pokemon likes to slice its prey apart and suck out the fluids. It is a vampiric Pokemon, apparently, because it is all about draining the victim's fluids. It cuts and then sucks. So I got nothing. It's weird.
It's thought this Pokemon came onto land because its prey adapted to life on land. So that's it. It's like, I'm done eating this seafood. I want some of that turf.
Like, it's like, you know what? Like, I you know, who has two blades and likes to cut things? Kind of can't really go thumbs up, but just holds up its claws. This guy!
I mean, look, Kabutops does have one of the cool, like, one of the cooler designs,
yeah.
I think. And so that is definitely a, I mean, it's not a terribly strong Pokemon by any stretch, but like, when you first played through Which fossil did you
pick? I went Kabuto.
Yeah, Kabuto is what I went with.
Yeah.
So fun story here. The real life creature that Kabuto is based off of is a trilobite. And when I was a kid, like talking about like 5 years old, my parents would take me to go fossil hunting down in a place called Caesar's Creek. It had this like big spillway and was basically known of all these fossils of the ocean's floor. And one of the cool things you could find was you could actually find trilobite fossils if you got lucky and searched in the right spot. I used to go hunting for trilobites when I was a kid. So like obviously I'm going to go, Kabuto.
Yeah. I was okay with Kabutops, even with everything you said. And then I realized it said that it swims at like 29 like nautical knots, like, or like it swims so fast. It is so fast. Look,
do you see how sleek it is? It's for me, it was, so I grew up on Long Island. And so obviously I had, had a bunch of beach. And so we had horseshoe crabs kind of all over the place. And so Kabuto reminded me of a horseshoe crabs. And so in my mind, those horseshoe crabs grew up to be Kabutops. And so that's why I wanted to get that one. But chat, let us know which ones you got. If are you a Ammonite or Kabuto, Stan, which one did you pick up on your first playthrough? I think we've reached the end of the show. We are two episodes away from episode 100. And I am this close to lining up a fun interview. And so I think it's going to be, it'll be a fun one. Someone who is very well known in the Pokemon community. And so I think this will be a nice guest to have for episode 100. Otherwise, if you want to get ready for the 100th episode, you want to make sure there's a crowd, hey, tell your friends, man. Tell your friends. You can find us live on Monday. You can find us live on Twitch every Monday, noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific, 5 p.m. across the pond. Otherwise, you can just find the podcast wherever podcasts can be found. Usually, sometimes in the early afternoon is when the audio goes live on Monday. So anywhere you can find podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, iHeartRadio, you name it. If it's pulling a podcast feed, our show is there. And then the very last thing that we would always appreciate, we're saving some up to read on the 100th episode, are podcast reviews on iTunes. 5 stars goes a really long way. A written review goes even further. So if you leave us a 5-star review, we'll read it on the air. And then otherwise we will catch you same time, same place next week. Appreciate everyone who's been following along in the chat on Twitch. Appreciate y'all. And we'll see you next week, everybody.